minutes after the second and final hour here on the program. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Whew! Weird, weird week. Colorado State, UNLV, canceled. Well, that's the wrong word. Not playing this weekend. That's what we should be saying. Not canceled. Let me preach a little bit. Those of you tweeting me and Facebooking me saying things like, Pac-12's not having a, they're not allowing non-conference games. They're not, Mountain West is not rescheduling canceled games, postponed games. Stop it. You should know better by now. 14 days to slow the curve. You know, I mean, we've been told all these things in 2020. None of it is real until it actually happens. Like there's a vaccine, Colfax. It's not real until it's out and people can actually line up and go get it. That's where my brain goes with all of it. The election, I mean, all of it. None of it is done, set in stone until it actually is. The Pac-12 back in August. Remember our conversation with the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson? It was silly for the Pac-12 to say, no football. We're going to go ahead and make that move now. No football, no basketball in the year 2020. Remember that? And we said, why would you say that? You don't know what's going to happen. And then suddenly the Big Ten and the SEC start rolling. Oh, okay, we're going to do football. Oh, so wait, what you said was official in August is not. We're not going to have basketball either. Well, the Buffs play next Wednesday. So we got that. The Mountain West says, oh, if we cancel a game, that's it. Not so fast. They didn't say canceled. In the Mountain West note, they said UNLV will not be traveling to Colorado State this weekend. They might still play. I'm not sure when, but Kelly made a good point. Neither one of those teams will be competing for the Mountain West championship, so maybe that weekend that they were scheduled to have that they're having that game, it's when they can play. Who knows anymore? I mean, who knows? NBA news, a couple of interesting tidbits from last night. You know, now you're hearing everybody. You know, all the new, you know, Rivers opting out of his contract with the Rockets. Hardaway picks up his option with the Mavericks. How about this one? San Francisco rejects the Golden State Warriors' plan to have 50% fan capacity. They were wanting to do that this year. San Francisco rejected it. So try again, Golden State. Try again. Knicks purge roster. They create $40 million in cap space. NBA, it's not the hot stove, but it sure should be called something other than NBA offseason, because this is the crazy time now. We got the draft done. What is this going to mean for the rest of the way through? The Nuggets are feeling pretty good about their draft, I got to think. You get Zeke Nagy, the power forward out of the University of Arizona. He's 6'11", great defensive player, good rebounder, high energy, runs the floor, all things you need if you're going to play on a team with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. So, to me, grade it. I mean, is anybody really an A in this draft? Probably not. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Power to Play Sports poll question. Grade the Nuggets number 22 draft pick, Zeke Nagy. 50% of the hooligans are saying C. That's where you're going. Well, and then you're gonna get these listeners. I'm waiting for you guys. You're going to get these listeners. You can't grade them until several years. Okay, but this is sports talk. You have to play the prediction game. You know, you have to ask the question. When Drew Locke was drafted, is he going to be the franchise guy? Brady, we haven't seen him play. No, you don't just get to do the whole, well, we know when we know. No. Take a guess. Be bold. Grade him. you can't just grade the player. You also have to grade the need. Denver definitely needed a power forward. Definitely. Whether Jeremy Grant stays with this team or not, you definitely needed to get a power forward. So, C, B, maybe. Yeah, C. C is probably fair. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to go crazy here. But I would imagine that, yeah, you could probably get away with saying saying a C. That's okay. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. The big news is, of course, Klay Thompson today. The fact that he's out for the season again, tearing the right Achilles. Tough spot for Golden State. Terrible. Feel terrible for, man, a guy that gets injured. You know, it's already a long year, and then you injure it again, and now you're out for another season. Tough spot there. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. So, how did the Nuggets do? You add in R.J. Hampton. Didn't have a second-round pick. R.J. Hampton, they traded. They traded a future lottery-protected first-rounder to New Orleans. Hampton played last season in New Zealand. He worked with Mike Miller in the offseason. I think that's worth noting. So where does he fit? He is a slasher guard. You don't really have another guy. You know, Jamal is kind of a slasher. Kind of. It depends on the night. Gary is not. Gary Harris is not that guy. Will Barton, kind of a guy that you can give the ball top of the key. He might try to do something with it, but you don't really have a guy like this that's really quick. You know, Monte Morris is really quick. He's not really a slasher because of his size. He's going to be a quick guy that pulls in, maybe pulls up at the free throw line extended. Honestly, that's a lot of where Jamal Murray's game is. You saw him evolve in the playoffs, though. I mean, he was starting to take it to the rack a little bit more. But now you have another attacking guard. So that, to me, you look at this. I mean, he averaged 8 points a game, 2.4 assists overseas. So he's known as a creator and a scorer. This is his draft profile. He has way more of an offensive mindset than Gary Harris, of course. Harris, who is defensive mindset, not really an offensive guy anymore. At one point in his career, kind of. But he's a 6 foot. He's 6 foot five, 185 pounds, very athletic. He's a pretty good defender. So, you know, all this talk about, you know, oh, you don't want to sacrifice Gary Harris's defense to go get another slasher, go get another scorer. He's pretty good D. So, I mean, that's going to help. Playing overseas against other professionals, that's going to help. He honed his outside shooting. He worked with Mike Miller. That's going to help him as well. So, pretty good outside shooter. So, you're happy with that, I think. So, when you look at the depth chart, right now, as it sits, here's my, you know, it's Jamal Murray starting at point guard. Gary Harris still on the roster. I don't see him going anywhere. He'll be your starting shooting guard. Small forward, probably Michael Porter Jr. Chris and I talked about this yesterday. Jeremy Grant was interesting, assuming he stays with Denver. You know, he started the season as a small forward. Then they started using him more as a power forward. I think you keep him in a power forward. You start Grant, and then you go center Nikola Jokic. Now, again, is Grant for sure? Chris told us yesterday the Nuggets feel pretty good about it, but they went and drafted a 6'11 power forward. Is Zeke going to be a starter right off the bat? No, especially not on this roster. But if it was a necessity, you might. I guess if the small percentage chance that Grant doesn't re-sign or opt back in with a new contract, or he already is going to opt out, new contract, then do you sign Paul Millsap? Have the veteran presence along with Zeke Nagy, and then Paul starts at the beginning of the season, and maybe you work Nagy into a starting role? Again, that's based on Grant not coming back to Denver. So let's assume that Grant does. Grant should start at power forward. You'd be small there. You know, Millsap's, they're about the same height, but Millsap's bigger, and he's more of a defensive guy down there, although Grant's defense was really good in the playoffs, and that's when he started playing more in that power forward role. And then Joker. The depth is where we get interesting here. So you have Monte Morris locked up. PJ Dozier's off the books in 2021. So you let him go, right? You're done with PJ Dozier. Monte Morris has 1 year left on his contract. So do you let him finish out his contract and then you keep, you know, RJ Hampton's not going to maybe get a lot of meaningful minutes right off the bat? Yeah. That's an interesting one. Monte Morris doesn't take much up on your salary cap. I think he's paid like $1.6 million. So Denver, they need to stick with him. I like Monte Morris a lot. But what does that mean with R.J. Hampton going forward? It means P.J. Dozier's probably gone. You got Torrey Craig. That one, now he's an interesting case here. He's up, but I believe they are working something out to keep him. They extended the qualifying offer to him. Was that Monday? That was the big news then. Yeah, there it is, Mike Singer. The Nuggets issued Craig's his $2.5 million qualifying offer. A league source confirmed. Now, that cannot hit the books until later this week or later tomorrow, I suppose. But that locks him up. No, kind of. They can match any offer that Craig may receive. So Craig will have the opportunity to seek another team, but Denver can match it. So if they say, hey, 2.5, if anybody's going much over that, then we'll be careful here. So I don't mind Craig. I mean, he averaged 5.4 points per game, 3 rebounds. He's a decent defensive guy. Perimeter defense, is pretty good. I could live without him, I suppose. I could go with or without him on this one. But, where does he make sense? When Barton is back, because you're going to go Michael Porter Jr. start, right? Murray, Harris, Porter, Grant, Joker. Okay? Monte Morris as a backup. Will Barton is a backup guard. Or he could be a backup small forward. Barton can play both positions there. Then where does that leave your new guys? RJ Hampton, Zeke, are they guys that are going to get meaningful minutes right off the bat? They will, because you're not going to play. Joker's not going to play as many minutes. Murray's not going to play as many minutes. The first 10 games, you're going to see these guys a lot, and you're going to get to learn about them. Is Bol Bol in that mix? So I don't know if Craig makes sense. Maybe the Nuggets are more just protecting themselves if they want to match anybody. If they can get him for cheap, and then again, Monte Morris, he's gonna be a backup guard, point guard. You can play both of them in at the same time. We saw that Murray and Morris on the court at the same time. Is it a little crowded? And this isn't even talking about Plumlee or Millsap. Is it a little bit crowded right now? You get your guard RJ Hampton. Does that mean you might be done with Monte Morris? Again, for the money, you shouldn't be, but you're not going to leave him as Hampton grows. You're not going to leave Morris on the bench down the road, or maybe you just ride this out, and then you're really hoping that RJ Hampton is a piece next season. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Denver has some big decisions to make, though. I thought it was interesting that Chris tells us yesterday that Chris Dempsey... we're going to know a lot about what the Nuggets might do based on this draft. Well, what do we know? They drafted a power forward. I got to think that seals Mason Plumlee's fate. So Mason Plumlee is done. They're not going to re-sign him. Millsap. Is it an either or? If Grant doesn't re-sign with you, then do you sign Millsap for one more year, see if you can get him for a few mil? You're not going 30.5, I'll tell you that. And then again, will Zeke Nnaji be a guy that comes in early to get meaningful minutes? I think so out of necessity, because you're not going to play your typical starters. Maybe Porter. You play Porter a lot. But these guys just got done not long ago. So I don't think they're going to go all load management on us here. But I could definitely see Joker going down significantly in minutes right off the top. Probably the same for Jamal Murray. 19 minutes after the hour. What do you guys think? Go grade the number 22 draft pick of Zeke Nnaji of University of Arizona, power forward there. A, B, C, D, F. Nobody's given him an F so far. That's good. A1 Organics in Eaton is your organics recycling center. They recycle grass, leaves, chipped wood, sawdust, brush and limbs, sod and soil, and log and tree trunks. That's A1 Organics. Their number is 970-454-3492. 20 minutes after the hour. No CSU game, no CU game. That's not happening. There will be a Broncos game, though, Colfax. Is Drew Locke going to get the start. He's banged up. Is this an opportunity to put Brett Rypien in and see what he has? You know, more of a challenge. That would be a challenge for him. It's not the Jets. Dolphins are playing good football. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Thursday Night Football is on tonight. Don't miss opening kickoff while you drive home. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Well, going back through the bullet points of why CU and CSU will not happen for the Pac-12, they are willing to make an amendment, believe it or not, to the first thing they said, that Pac-12 would never play a non-conference game this season. Well, they said, yeah, we'll work with you, but the non-conference opponent must adhere to Pac-12 testing protocols, which, from everything I'm hearing, Mountain West checks out, just like the Pac-12. Game must be a home game for Pac-12 team. I would imagine CSU was told they were going to have to go to Boulder, and I'm guessing CSU said no. That's where it goes. So I mean, if you are mad at the Buffs and Pac-12 for not having this game, well, that's what they're saying, that they're protecting their teams in their conference. If you're going to go non-conference. And again, Pac-12 is a Power 5. Like it or not, it's how it goes. They said, no, we got to have it as a home game. CSU, knowing that they were supposed to have a home game Saturday, plus they were supposed to play CU at home this year. So, I mean, I could see why CSU said, you know what? No, I mean, that's not fair. Let's not do it. Yeah, it's too much work. And you're going to go get beat anyway. So I think that it makes sense to me. It does. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. We're probably going to get more about this, right? Probably going to hear more about what went down. Kelly said, Kelly Lyle told us earlier that Joe Parker didn't come out to talk about anything like this. You did hear Rick George in a statement. The story is now up at 1310kfk.com and thehulshow.com. Saying that, hey, even though the Pac-12 is making some amendments to play non-conference, we're not going to do it. Just doesn't work out. Bummer. It really, really is disappointing. And the whole Wyoming thing's kind of disappointing, but I kind of get it at the same time. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Drew Locke in practice today, and from videos and footage that I've seen, he looks okay, but he's hurt still. Is this not an opportunity to just say, you know what, Drew? Take the weekend to kind of get your mind right. You have, for the first time in your young career, faced some true adversity, which can be good for him if you are trying to look at the glass half full, so to speak, and not give up on the guy. Maybe it's good for him to take his lumps the last few weeks because he's not looking good. He's regressing. He's looking worse every week. Take the week off. See what you have in Brett Rypien. I thought Rypien was going to be a fourth, fifth round pick. He wasn't. He was undrafted. But that means that there was potential. I mean, go look at any of the mock drafts from 2 years ago. Find Brett Rypien. Search him. A lot of people had him going in the draft. He was a solid quarterback for the Boise State Broncos for a very respectable non-Power 5 team. So I think, you know, we're all spending a lot of time talking about Drew Locke. Colfax, if Brett Rypien gets the start against a Miami Dolphins team that's playing fantastic defensively, Tua's making the right decisions, they're looking pretty good, you go see what Brett Rypien has, and maybe you feel a little bit better about your quarterback situation. You don't have to go out and try to get somebody else next season. You know, I know Carson Wentz's name keeps coming up. Matt Ryan's name keeps coming up, all these other free agent guys, but you might. I've said it from the beginning. I wanted Denver to draft Brett Rypien. I did. Remember that? They didn't. They got him as a free agent, as an undrafted guy. But John Elway, is he too proud for that? He doesn't want to admit that it wasn't his guy. I mean, he signed him, but he didn't draft him. That is a big difference. You know, when you draft a guy, you pay him more. Plus, he was on your board. Maybe he was, but he was on nobody else's board, apparently. So they let him go and found him later. Is it that far-fetched to say, why not let him play this weekend? And you protect two things. You protect Drew Lock for a week. You give him a week to just kind of settle down. You know, slow things down. Again, you screwed up by throwing way too much at him this season. I don't like this coaching situation. Some people are blaming it on the players. I heard a thing today saying top three Broncos players. If you had to say that, it's a tough thing. Wouldn't you say Jerry Jeudy? Because Cortland Sutton's not playing. Justin Simmons on defense, maybe Kareem? Philip Lindsay. Most agreed that I was listening to and watching today that Philip Lindsay was a top three player for the Broncos. Okay, well, isn't that coaching then? Your top three player had four carries. So coaching's bad. 31 minutes after the hour, here comes Dixon. Not sure Plumlee is gone on our First Advantage text line, 31996. He is a Malone favorite, and you don't know what you have in the rookie yet. Millsap should be gone. Wouldn't mind seeing them keep Plumlee for depth. Okay, Dixon's throwing out his depth chart. Joker, Murray, Barton, MPJ, Grant. So you're starting Barton over Harris, or are you saying bye-bye to Harris? You know, you've got Harris on the bench. So you'd put Barton in the starting lineup over Gary Harris. You'd go a little bit bigger there at that two guard. I don't know. I mean, they started Harris, but even when Barton was healthy, I don't see them changing that. I see Barton coming off the bench. You got Monte Morris, Plumlee, Torrey Craig, PJ Dozier. You think they're gonna work with Dozier? I don't see them re-signing him since they just got RJ Hampton. I don't see it. But, you know, who knows? Stranger things have happened, I suppose. But I think that they traded to get this guy. They wanted him. So, I mean, I could see him playing as soon as the season, especially when the first 10 games or so, we're going to learn a lot about the young roster, because you're going to rest guys for a little bit. They're not going to have as many minutes. So you're saying Plumlee sticks with them, Grant signs with them, they let Millsap go. You're saying they do match Craig's offer. If Craig gets an offer, they keep Torrey Craig. They re-sign PJ Dozier. They got Bol Bol. They got two rookies, and you got Harris on the bench. You're right. We don't know what we have in the rookies. But, you know, I could see Zeke getting meaningful minutes early. Maybe more like an MPJ-type role early, where he gets in a few times, and then he kind of fizzles. We don't see him for a while. Again, that is a big ask. I get where you're coming from with Plumlee, though. But if it were the same price... If money wasn't the issue, Plumlee or Millsap, who would you rather have on your bench? I'd rather have Millsap because of the scoring. I know Malone likes Plumlee, but I think I saw enough in the playoffs. He wasn't that good of a defender to make up for his just absolute lack of anything offensive. So I would go with Millsap over Plumlee if money's not really an issue, and maybe it won't be. Because again, I mean, both guys were kind of overpaid. Plumlee was doing $14 million. Obviously, Millsap was doing $30 million. I would imagine you're going to get those guys way down. Millsap, you could probably get way. Is he even a 10? He's got to be a $14 million guy. Plumlee's probably still around there. I would go Millsap on that side. And I don't see them re-signing PJ Dozier because of the fact that they got RJ Hampton. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest. Oh, before we do that, Colfax, I got to tell you about one of our great sponsors before we load up Thursday Night Special. SEL Mortgage. Go to their website, myspecialmortgage.com. Did you know that SEL, they're looking for loan officers and operations people to handle all of their volume? They're actually looking for folks because things are so crazy for them. Everybody trusts this business, this company. They have a great culture to thrive in, so call them. People are looking for jobs, right? 970-444-1222, or go to their website, myspecialmortgage.com. 34 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
We're back. Well, it's Thursday night. A new week has gone. I turn on my radio for some prophecy fun. I hear an American picker on KFKA. The biggest game each week is his specialty. I gotta get ready, make the TNS the bomb, because Thursday night special is gonna be special tonight. Are you ready?
It is the biggest game of the week. This one actually might be the biggest game. You got Seattle and Arizona. You have a big division battle going on here in the NFC West. Now it's tight, man. I mean, Arizona is leading the race 6-3, but they're tied with Los Angeles and Seattle, all of them sitting at 6-3. San Francisco's still not dead in the water necessarily. Probably will fall out that way, but they're 4-6. This one's going to be interesting. Of course, Arizona won the last time round, and this is when you saw just a lot of points. What was it, 37-34? Russell Wilson threw three touchdowns in that game, but he threw three interceptions. And that was when Wade kind of said, oh, wait a second here. Is he the MVP? Or is it Patrick Mahomes? Well, don't look now. Kyler Murray is emerging and trending, I guess is the word, as maybe a guy that could be considered an MVP. Now, he's not going to win it over Mahomes, but, I mean, he's playing really well. Extremely well. And he's so much fun to watch. Of course, his legend grew after the Hail Mary bomb last week to DeAndre Hopkins, so he keeps growing. He's putting up big, big numbers. So these are, you have a great quarterback in Russell Wilson. I can't believe he's never had an MVP before. He's one of the best players in the league, for sure. But he has had a couple of bad games here. Arizona's feeling great about themselves. When you win a game like that, Hail Mary, man, you feel like you're playing with house money. Seattle has lost three out of the last four games. Seattle. I mean, they were rocking and rolling for a long time until they lost Arizona, perhaps exposing some weaknesses. This is a huge division game. Seattle has to have it if they want to really try to take hold of that division. Man, this was a tough one. Went back and forth on this a lot. The Seahawks are favored by 3. It is at home. I like Seattle.
Hold on to your butt.
To win and cover.
We are Sadgasm. This song is called Politically Incorrect.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell.
It is Dragon Ball Z.
It's Marvin, your cousin, Marvin Cobain. You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
Grunge was founded in Seattle.
His name's Mr. Unlimited.
Okay. I said it's gonna be time.
You gotta be unlimited. You gotta have
nobody
a
knows
to
what
be
he meant
unlimited.
By that.
Swimming out the trash.
And so when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go.
Billy
Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited. And Seattle has done it in a classic.
It's Mr.
Russell
Unlimited. You gotta be unlimited. Tell him I'm unlimited.
Okay, you know what I mean? Russell, nobody knows what you mean. What was that video even about? Mr. Unlimited. Bringing it tonight. I don't care what your video means, man. You are winning tonight. I do not see Seattle dropping 3 in a row. They have, again, 3 out of the last 4. I know their defense isn't great. We've talked about that. They're terrible against the pass. they were better last week. Offense just didn't show up. So the defense was much better than they were against Buffalo. Wow, they were awful against the Bills. But you're going to need the best from Russell Wilson tonight and DK Metcalf. The freak of nature that is DK Metcalf. No man, no head start is too much for Metcalf to avoid. I mean, he's going to chase you down no matter what. 45 receptions for Metcalf, 816 yards, 8 touchdowns. Tyler Lockett on the other side of him, 58 receptions, 681 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So Wilson has to get it right. Again, if the MVP thing, if he still wants to have any shot, he's got to turn it around now. And has to be damn near perfect the rest of the way, because Mahomes is, again, that touchdown to interception ratio that Mahomes is dealing with is still the most impressive stat I've ever seen. 25 touchdowns for Mahomes and to one interception. Russell Wilson has thrown 10, 28 touchdowns, but 10 interceptions. Kyler Murray, though, I mean, he's climbing up there, his numbers. He's thrown for 2,300 yards. 17 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, although a lot of those interceptions were early in the season. But I mean, what he can do on the ground is another thing, too. People say that he and Russell kind of are similar in that. Murray is he absolutely changes things. He's closer to Lamar than he is a Russell Wilson type guy. But this game should be great. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. I love the rain and all that stuff, man. That was good. It was good.
Some seagulls in the background.
Yeah.
So that it's kind of hard to hear that quacking sound.
It's some Nirvana.
Nirvana, you know.
Was it Soundgarden? They were found. I mean, Chris Cornell is like a god, or was a god in Seattle.
Yeah.
They have all the statues up and everything. So.
And then there's a Simpsons episode where they kind of made fun of how grunge got started.
The grunge scene.
Yeah. So that was Homer in there.
How did it get started? Just be dudes that were just really, really down because they're depressed from all the rain?
The rain, and I think just 80s music in general was pretty terrible. So they
were depressed from 80s music? Yeah. I was watching, speaking of past stuff, I'm watching all the NBA guys in the draft. They're all born in 2000, 2001, which is pretty depressing. They don't know what any of our stuff was from the 90s, dude. Like, they show them a floppy disk. No clue. Seriously. No idea. They showed them a VCR tape, I think. They didn't know that. A picture of NSYNC. Didn't know that.
Nothing.
What was Beyonce's band? She had a band. Destiny's Child. Didn't know who that was. They recognized Beyonce. They recognized Justin Timberlake. Didn't know who NSYNC was. They actually, one of them, I think it was Ball. He said, LaMelo said he thought it was the Beatles. NSYNC was the Beatles. This is why you got to appreciate Zeke Nagy, man. I mean, he likes old stuff. You know, he followed a lot of great bands back in the day. These guys, man. That was depressing for me. I felt like I was 95 years old. I can't remember. There's a few things on there, like a tape recorder, a few different things, and they're like, no clue. No idea. Well, by 2000, I mean, technology was crazy by that time.
The internet was already there.
Yeah.
In full swing.
Oh, in full swing. I looked at a picture from an old picture of a, it was on social media, of a guy in a catalog. He had a, you know, camera. You know, those old video that you shot home videos on, a camera on his shoulder, had his headphones, his recorder, his VCR, all that stuff. And it's like, now that is your phone.
It's all right there.
It's all right there for you, man. 48 minutes after the hour, the Thursday night special has spoken. We got to get back over 500. I got knocked back last week. That was unfair, unfortunate. But I'm getting back over 500 tonight. I'm pretty confident in that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll wrap up the show on the other side.
Yeah, here come the rooster.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
7 minutes till the top of the hour. We're almost done here on a Thursday. Don't forget, we'll have Thursday Night Football for you here on KFKA tonight. Should be a great one. Seattle and Arizona going at it. Congratulations to Tyler Bay, by the way. He'll join the Dallas Mavericks after getting selected number 36 in the 2020 draft. Philly made the pick, but it's one of those. According to ESPN, the 76ers are sending Josh Richardson and Bay to the Mavericks for Seth Curry, not Steph Curry. Tyler Bay was great. I mean, he becomes the sixth Buffaloes player selected in the NBA draft during Tad Boyle's tenure in Boulder, joining Alec Burks, Andre Roberson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Derek White, and George King. Well, add another name to that list next year in McKinley Wright. He is the 35th CU player drafted. So congratulations to Tyler Bay, man. I kind of wanted to see him in a Denver Nuggets uniform, but didn't work out that way. All right, Colfax, here's what we learned today. CSU was a fit. Well, we learned this yesterday. CSU, UNLV, don't use the word canceled. They're just not playing this weekend. That doesn't necessarily mean it's canceled now. CU is not playing. For my information, they're not playing this weekend. The Pac-12 was going to make an exception for CU and CSU, a non-conference game, but a couple of rules that CSU would have had to follow, one of them was to have to come to Boulder. They would have had to play it on a road game, and apparently CSU was not willing to do that. The Wyoming game's not happening either. We are told that Wyoming was reaching out. Only makes sense to, I mean, did they want to play that game? I'm not sure. Maybe, maybe not. They just said that they tried to reach out and get a game going, and nobody wanted to play them this weekend. So I know, it's so sad. Sounds like, you know, recess, man. Nobody wants to play us. So no Colorado State game, no Colorado game. Basketball starts next week, though. Yeah, college basketball. CU Buffs on Wednesday. We get UNC Bears action as well. So, man, I'm so excited for basketball season. Can't wait. We'll be back at it on a Friday for a busy, busy, busy football Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.